Da soll er sich in der Schmutzbach Chesel Shagam, Rav Yehuda, Mesech, Pesach, und Dafir Aleph. Rekt, Gemara, how can we say that Rav Yehuda's goes against doing a bediki after the time he visits the chametz, because we're afraid that he may eat from the chametz that he finds? The Mishnah says, as soon as the carbon omer was brought, which permitted the new grain, the markets of Yerushalayim were full of flour and grain dried in an oven from the new crop. This means that the produce was cut, grinded, and dried before Yom Tov began, when eating this produce was also. Sar Meir says this was done against the will of the Chacham, but Rabbi Yehuda says it was done with the Chacham, with the Chacham's approval. Aibazoi, we see that Rabbi Yehuda is not going to say that you may come to eat from something as you're handling it. Rabbi said, since before bringing the carbon to Omer, the only way you're allowed to detach the new produce from the ground is by pulling it out of the ground by hand, that was an unusual method, and that will remind him that he's not allowed to eat from it. That would help during the time that he's pulling it out of the ground. But why was Yehuda not goyzer against the time of the grinding and the sifting of the flour as well? The Mara says these processes were also done in an unusual manner. The grinding was done with a hand grinder, and the sifting was done on an upside down sifter, which again acts as a reminder to not eat from the new produce. The Mara Mishnah says that one may cut produce from irrigated fields and fields in the valley in the usual manner, even though it's also to eat the produce before bringing the Omer, and he's just not allowed to pile the produce. And the Gemara there says that this follows Rabbi Yehuda. We see he's not goyzer that one may come to eat the produce because he's handling it in the normal manner. Abaya says people separate themselves from eating chadash and therefore they won't come to eat it. However, people are accustomed to eating chametz all year round. And therefore, we have to be more concerned when it comes to chametz that you may eat the chametz if you're handling it. Rava asked the Gemara, said the Rabbanan allow a bedikah to be done after the Issur chametz has begun. We see you're not concerned that you come to eating it just because you're handling it. Yet the Rabbanan, which is the Shita of Rav Meir above, did not allow the handling of the chadash out of concern that one may come to eat it. Gemara says the Rabbanan say with regard to chametz, the person is searching for it to destroy it. So there's no way he's going to come to eat it when he knows other Rabbi is searching it mamash to destroy it. Rav Ashi said the reason Rabbi does not in the case of the flour and the dried grain of the new produce, because those are not fit to be eaten, so there's no reason to be geyser. The Gemara says this is actually a mistaken answer, because the raw produce before it's ground and dried, it actually is fit to be eaten. In fact, Gemara, how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda is geyser in a situation where people are accustomed to doing a particular thing? A Mishnah says that although the Rabbanon don't allow it, Rabbi Yehuda allows one to fill an eggshell with oil so that it drips into the oil lamp on Shabbat, and he's not concerned that the person will take some of that oil for eating, which is something people are accustomed to do, which would be a necessary device of extinguishing. You see that he's not geyser. The Gemara says over there he's not geyser because of the stringency of the stringency of Shabbos will prevent someone from doing that. Shekhmar Abrai says, the Rabbanon allow one to tie the broken rope of a pail with a bow. They're not goyzer that one may come to make a knot. Rabbi Yehuda does not allow the bow to be made. We see his goyzer for Shabbos. Mara says, the Rabbanon are goyzer in the case of the oil because people would confuse one oil for another oil. However, people would not confuse allowance to make a bow with an allowance to make a knot. With regard to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason he says you're not allowed to make a bow is not because of Gzera. He holds that a bow is actually usher as a knot on Shabbos. Also, Deraisa. Shekhmar Mishnah says that the Rabbanon don't allow using a rope to tie the pail, even if it is a rope that will not be left there permanently, so it would not lead to a knot, which would be us derisa. So we see that they're geyser even in this case. Mara says they're geyser because people would confuse allowing the tying of a rope that will not be left permanently with the tying of a rope that will be left permanently. How can we say that Rabbi Yehuda is not geyser whenever people are not accustomed to doing a particular thing? A brisa says Rabbi Yehuda allows letting blood from a bechor, even though the bechor may die if it's not done. Rabbi Yehuda prohibits letting blood from a bechor, even though the bechor may die if it's not done, because he's goyzer that one may make a permanent mum in the bechor, which is aser. See, he's goyzer even though people typically are separated from kodshim. The Gemara says he's goyzer in that case because the person is very worried about the animal dying, and the financial loss that he would entail will cause him to be in a state of confusion and may lead him to make a mum. We see from a brayso, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that the loss of money is a reason to be goyzer, because he allows combing an animal with a comb that has thick teeth that won't make a wound to the animal, but doesn't allow a comb with a thinner teeth, which would make a mum, although the rabbi wouldn't allow neither to be used. Where it says in that case the combing alleviates the animal's pain, but the animal is never at risk of dying, so that's why he's not in a total state of bahala. Then therefore we don't have to be geyser. In the case of the bloodletting, the animal is at risk of dying. That's the difference. Jack, why is Rabbi Yehuda geyser by chametz but not by combing? Where it says people do not confuse the two types of combs. They would get confused with the chametz since they eat it all year long. Dr. Mishnah Rameh says you're allowed to eat chametz the entire fifth hour of Erev Pesach. You have to burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, even though deraisa it's really mutter to eat chametz throughout the entire sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to eat the entire fourth hour. The fifth hour is left hanging, tolui, because he can't eat the chametz, but he can still benefit the chametz by giving it to his animals, etc., and he must burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rav Yehuda also said they would place two chalas from a pasul carbon toida on a bench on the Har HaBayis on Erev Pesach. As long as those, both of them were up there, people knew they were allowed to still eat the chametz. At the beginning of the fifth hour, Bezdin would send someone to remove one of the chalas, and everyone would know that eating the chametz is now aser, but benefiting from the chametz is still mutter. At the beginning of the sixth hour, the second chala would be removed, and now everyone would know that you have to begin burning your chametz. Rav Galil says chulin may be eaten throughout the entire fourth hour, truma may be eaten throughout the entire fifth hour, and everything has to be burned at the beginning of the sixth hour. Dr. Gemara Mishnah says, if two witnesses say testimony, but the versions of their story differ as to what time the occurrence took place. Rav Meir says, if one said it happened in the second hour of the day, and the other said it happened in the third hour of the day, the testimony is accepted, because really they're saying the same thing, but one of them is mistaken. If one of them says the third, and one of them says the fifth, it's not accepted, because such a discrepancy is beyond the amount of time that people make a mistake. Rav Yehuda says, in that case, the testimony would be accepted as well, the third to the fifth. But if one said it took place in the fifth, and one said it took place in the seventh, 7th, then the testimony would not be accepted because the 5th hour the sun is in the east, and during the 7th hour the sun is in the west, so we can't attribute the difference to a mistake. Abaye said, by analyzing this, we see that Rameyah says people don't err in telling time, and the reason the testimony is accepted when one says in the 2nd hour and one says the 3rd hour is because they're really referring to the exact same moment. One called it the end of the 2nd hour, one called it the beginning of the 3rd hour, but really it's the exact same time, there's no mistake made at all. Yehuda says that people do make a mistake in telling time up to half an hour. The incident actually took place in the middle of the 4th hour. One erred a half hour and said it happened at the end of the 3rd. The other erred for a half hour and said, you know, later and said it happened at the beginning of the 5th. Another version of Abaye is that according to Rameyah, a person only makes a mistake by a slight amount. The incident took place either at the end of the 2nd or the beginning of the 3rd, and one witness was off by a slight amount. According to Yehuda, a person can make a mistake telling time by up to an hour in a slight amount. It really, the incident took place either at the end of the 3rd or the beginning of the 5th, and the other one made a mistake. Rava asked, by assuming that the witness who said 3rd hour meant the end of the 3rd, you're saying he meant the end of the 3rd hour, and the one who said the 5th hour, you're saying he meant the beginning of the 5th hour, so is it, you're so sure about that you'd kill someone based on that? It's possible that he meant the beginning of the 3rd hour or the end of the 5th hour, in which case the testimony wouldn't be accepted. And the Pasuk teaches that we look for ways to prevent the testimony from punishing someone. So how can we say that we accept the testimony in this case? Rava therefore said, according to our mayor, a person makes a mistake up to 2 hours less a slight amount, and therefore a difference in testimony of this amount will still have a testimony accepted. The incident took place at the beginning of the 2nd hour or at the end of the 3rd hour. One witness is mistaken by slightly less than 2 hours. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a person can make a mistake slightly less than 3 hours. Therefore, the incident took place either at the beginning of the 3rd or at the end of the 5th. One witness is off by slightly less than 3 hours, and therefore the testimony is accepted because they both saw the same incident. They're just mistaken as to the time.